We're focusing on Psalm 103 today, and that kind of divides into two parts, so we're going to have two readings to reflect those parts. The first one is a short reading, it's just five verses, and the second one is later on and goes right through to the end, which is verse 22. But Beryl Cole, thank you Beryl, is going to read them for us. And first of all, the first five verses.
Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles.
Now, it seems a bit of an odd title, doesn't it, to have for a service, How to Stay Young, and yet you would have noticed what it says at the end of verse 5 in that first Bible reading, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I didn't know eagles were always that young, did you? But that's what the Bible is looking at. When the Bible looks at the word eagle, it's always complimentary and always looking at youth and activity and doing active things. So if you can get online and look up a Bible verse, look up the word eagle and see how many times it occurs in the Bible, and the different things that it tends to say. But it's always a very complimentary thing. And one little treat we have to you today, which is later on when I'm doing one of the talks, is that we've got a photograph of an eagle which was taken at Chard Junction. How about that? I'll tell you who it was taken by. It was by my wife's brother, who's a big photographer and a big birder, and he goes everywhere. But that's the thing. And very often, you'll find, particularly when there's something like that, you can easily just take the picture home, and that will bring back the others. Now, what we've got is this key verse that I mentioned before, from Psalm 103 and verse 5, your youth is renewed like the eagles. And the situation is that that kind of recaps on verses 1 to 4 and shows us these different ways that might contribute towards us staying young and our youth being renewed. The prelude is verses 1 and 2, and we'll be coming back and looking at that at the end later on in the service. And it's such a significant small sentence or so. It's got praise in it all the time. Praise the Lord, praise his holy name, praise the Lord, and so on. And it is very meaningful, and I'm not going to dig into it now, but when you get home, and if you have sometime during the week another look through this, just stop for a couple of minutes and just think about what that says and how we can do that. And then it goes on to look at the different issues that can be aging factors, okay? Did you think I was going to preach on aging factors this morning? What makes you old? But things that can be quite difficult for people, whatever their age and however they are. One is guilt. The second one is disease. The third one is depression. The fourth one is negatives. And the fifth one is dissatisfaction. So when you think of all those, they're very common in all kinds of situations, but all those aging factors are named, not using the same word necessarily, in these first five verses and are things that we need to consider. So let's have a look at guilt, first of all, because under guilt, the word in those first five verses is who forgives all your sins. Now, people often think that guilt is when you've done something wrong and you've cheated on somebody, and then you might feel guilty for the fact that it was a friend of yours who you shouldn't have cheated on in that way, or whatever. Anybody felt that they've cheated recently or guilty of anything recently? Anybody guilty of anything ever? Oh, one or two hands showing there, yeah. But, you know, guilt is something which is there in such tiny proportions, but in such big proportions as well. But in this respect, the Bible is talking about sins. In other words, things which are against God's will. And the response to that in the rest of this chapter is illustrated as examples in verses 10 and 12, where it says in verse 10, "He does not punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserved." Now, notice that it says it does not punish us for all our sins. And if we repent, what it really means there is he does not punish us for any of our sins. Why not? People all over the world have done things they shouldn't have been doing, but God doesn't punish us. So guilt need not take effect. And then a couple of verses later on, in verse 12, again it's put so carefully, "He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west." And when you were living in the Holy Land at that time, you couldn't even see the east, and you certainly couldn't see the west, because it was so far, and you had no idea how many thousand miles it went until the east and the west happened. And we now know that you've got to go around in a circle and end up in New Zealand, but they had no idea of that at the time. And if you've ever flown to New Zealand, it does take such a long time. It feels like the east and the west. So guilt is number one in the list here. And how to stay young, number one, is be forgiven. Come to God, and if you've had a problem with anybody else, talk to them as when necessary, or do what is necessary to actually remove that guilt. Step one of how to stay young. Step number two, disease. And this is a little phrase which you've got to be careful about, and it says, "and heals all your diseases." So does this mean that we'll never get ill ever? Well, it can't mean that, because if that was the case, nobody would ever die and the world would be even more overrun than it is at the moment. No, it's got to be a proportionate thing in certain ways. Heals all your diseases. And diseases can happen. It's a word, disease, which has been used specially in this particular passage in Psalm 103. To illustrate all kinds of ways, not just of ordinary illness. But what I put down there is, when it refers to diseases, we're looking at things might be wrong with us now, or in due course in the future, but we don't know when or how or what will happen, or eventually, as and when we die, if we die of natural causes or of unnatural causes. And disease is not always how we expect. And we've been hearing about Dave Hewitt, of course, at the beginning of the service, and we all will obviously know situations where we have had illness or disease, and others in our family and friends have, and it's a difficult thing to cope with. And the Bible has some difficult teaching on it. But diseases, heals all your diseases. Well, we can do something about some of them because we have medical help available today, more than we've ever known about before, technically. We've got counselling, which is much more of a significant help these days for people who are unwell. And lifestyle, again, what lifestyle we lead, which is very significant. But here, if you wanted to look at it a bit wider, it's useful to think about it in the context of a right mind and a right spirit. In other words, look at the other four out of these five issues and not just the diseases on its own. But the last point on this is to quote Cliff Richard. May I quote Cliff Richard? Yes, all right, I thought so. Never mind, I got the Rolling Stones coming on in a while, but that's later. Cliff Richard, in one of his books, made a distinction, which is not a distinction, strictly speaking, in the diary, in the dictionary, but it's one that he brought to life. He says, dying is not death. We all die, but that is a transition. But if you look at the word death, I interpret it, said Cliff Richard, as ceasing to exist. But for Christians in particular, dying is not death. We do not cease to exist. We do not suffer death. We suffer dying, which is a transition. And that underlines what the Bible verse has in this. Heals all your diseases, because the all includes dying. So even though diseases and illness and whatever may be very difficult in people's lives, and in some people's lives, they are much worse than in other people's. My mum was very fortunate. She had sort of heart disease of some kind, but never really did her much harm until, I may have said this before, and sorry if I have, one Sunday morning she put her coat on, was getting ready to go to church, and she was in her mid-80s by then, and a friend came to collect her to take her to church, and there was no answer at the door, so they got somebody to open the door, and there she was, sat in her armchair with her Sunday coat on, waiting to go to church, and she just had a completely quiet death, not moved a muscle. Well, yes, a muscle, like a heart muscle, but she just sat there and that was it. And sometimes it can be so straightforward. So with my mother, there were more thanks in the after-death situations than there were for almost all other people, because it was such an easy situation, not for her to go through, but for other people to go through. And for her, she just kind of went to sleep because she didn't move, she didn't wiggle, or, you know, she just sat down like she normally would. And then number three is depression. Now, depression, I mean, that's not a new thing, is it? But isn't depression is something much bigger than we used to think of it, isn't it? It's something which so many people now go through, and it's so much more spoken of these days. And I love the way it puts it in the Bible, who redeems your life from the pit. What a clever expression to use for that. Redeems your... Did anybody watch when it was first on, Quatermass and the Pit? Any hands going up? Yeah, there were them two hands. Some of the people watched Quatermass and the Pit. Well, if you Google for Quatermass and the Pit, it'll give you a good idea of what this was saying. But think about the pit being stuck down at the bottom of a pit. If you're in a pit, you can't see over the rim. You can't find any way out. That's depression. But having said that, there's another rather different word that resolves this, who redeems your life from the pit. Now, that's an interesting word, isn't it, to say who redeem. It's not a case of just lifts you out or brings you out. It's a very technical word, redeems your life from the pit. So he brings us out in a very special spiritual and sometimes mental way from depression. And the outcome of that is so that we can see clearly and get an aim in life and go forward. And in some cases, obviously, depression does need counselling, often quite a lot of counselling, but it is one of these five things which, when it's seen to, can help to help us stay young. And number four are negative things. And the Bible word here, who crowns you with love and compassion. Isn't that again, it's a rather Shakespearean way to put it, isn't it? Who crowns you with love and compassion. In other words, negatives are turned into positives. And the word crowned is the one that covers the things that follow it. Looking at the one after crowned, love and compassion. Looking at the word love later on in the chapter, in verse 17 we read, the love of the Lord remains forever with those who fear him. And compassion, verse 13, the Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. And the love and compassion together form something which goes on the top of our heads and is sparkly in a kind of way. It crowns us. So the love and compassion acts as a very significant feature towards helping us to stay young. And the last one, number five of five. You'll be glad it's number five of five by now, won't you? Yes, you're allowed to say yes. Dissatisfaction. Dissatisfaction. Who satisfies your desires with good things. Now you see what I put there, don't you? No more Rolling Stones. Anybody remember Rolling Stones and satisfaction? I can't get no satisfaction. A lot of you don't remember it, do you, if you're less than 70 odd years old. But in the 1960s, when I was at Bible college, we had a Christian rock group, and we went around various churches doing evangelism, and that was the time when I Can't Get No Satisfaction was in the top of the hits. And we wrote some different words to it. You can almost guess what we wrote. You won't get no satisfaction. And I won't sing it and do the rest of the words, but it said entirely the opposite to the Rolling Stones one. And partly one of the reasons was that it was at the time of Cliff Richard and the Shadows, and Cliff Richard became a Christian in the mid-60s, and that was notably different from the lifestyle of Mick Jagger and the Rolling Stones and some other pop groups. And when we were going around different churches doing our evangelism in Bible college, we had a group, we had this rhythm group to sing these songs. That came out as very significant. So, dissatisfaction. And I Can't Get No Satisfaction is not something that people sing very much these days. You haven't sung it recently, have you? No. But it's a feeling that often people have, dissatisfaction. So, the answer to that is in this verse, who satisfies your desires with what? With good things. So the response to dissatisfaction is satisfaction. But satisfaction with good things. Not with what we necessarily want, but with good things. And here we have this list in those first five verses of Psalm 103 of five specific issues which can cause difficulty these days in so many people. And if we can resolve those, then no matter what age we are, it is a kind of how to stay young. Not in years. I won't say how many people are over 80 here, because that's not fair, is it? But there's one or two of us in our house are over 80. It's not that situation. Your youth is renewed like the eagles. So guilt is turned into forgiveness. Disease is turned into healing, if that's only on dying and going to be with God directly. Depression is turned into redemption. Negatives are turned into love and compassion. And dissatisfaction is turned into, well, I quoted Graham Kendrick instead of Rolling Stones, didn't I? Satisfaction. And I didn't tell you about that bullet point. Graham Kendrick, God is good, we sing and shout it. God is good, we sing and shout it. I'm not going to sing the rest of that. But there are things, these things, which make it so different, whatever our age. And what I suggest is that during the week, have a look at those five verses and just think of those five things. And have a prayer. It doesn't necessarily need to have words in the prayer, which will simply ask God to help us with issues that we are not really making it with, so that we can help to be sorted out with things like forgiveness, healing, redemption, love, compassion, satisfaction, to help us feel younger, even though every day we're not younger. It's how to stay young. We'll be going to have a much shorter part of that talk in a while, after we've had the reading of the rest of that psalm, because this five verses is only a quarter of the psalm. The three quarters we're not going to do an exposition of, but it's something which I'm going to suggest we simply spend time reading and thinking about during the week. Maybe the whole of it, maybe a verse at a time, because it deals with lots of different things, but it illustrates these first five verses, which is why I've chosen those to start with. The rest of the Bible reading now is verses 6 to 22, so it's a longish one. And what I'm going to say, it's not a case of necessarily thinking through every verse in every detail at the moment as we listen to it. Just enjoy listening to it, and then later on during the week or whatever, have a think about each of the verses and each of the situations. So over to Beryl again.
The Lord gives righteousness and justice to all who are treated unfairly. He revealed his character to Moses and his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. He will not constantly accuse us nor remain angry forever. He does not punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. For his unfailing love toward those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to all those who fear him. For he knows how weak we are. He remembers we are only dust. Our days on earth are like grass, like wild flowers. We bloom and die. The wind blows and we are gone, as though we had never been here. But the love of the Lord remains forever with those who fear him. His salvation extends to the children's children of those who are faithful to his covenant, of those who obey his commandments. The Lord has made the heavens his throne. From there he rules over everything. Praise the Lord, you angels, you mighty ones who carry out his plans, listening for each commandment. Yes, praise the Lord, you armies of angels who serve him and do his will. Praise the Lord, everything he has created, everything in all his kingdom. Let all that I am praise the Lord.
And I've only got a couple of slides left to really illustrate this outcome. Not really in terms of, I love that, I wish I could do that. Just to look at the outcome, not as an exposition of the rest of that psalm, because that's something for us to think about separately. But look at the outcome. What I'm going to do is, on this slide, to repeat verses 1 and 2 that we used at the beginning of the service, relatively. And I just read it again, so that reading it the second time on the basis of what we've been thinking through can tell us things that we didn't spot the first time round. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And all I'm going to do now is simply to suggest what the key factors might be in that short couple of sentences. Are you going to play the piano? Well, I love it. Anyway, on the first line there, notice that in those two verses, oh, we are going to play the piano. Yeah. All the right notes, but not necessarily in the right order. Notice, first of all, that praise the Lord occurs three times in those two verses. And what that can help us to know is that when we are looking at things which maybe make us feel old, and the negatives like the guilt and the dissatisfaction and so on, keep saying praise the Lord, because it's simply because we know that he can do something about it. It's kind of putting that trust in him. So when we've got difficulties on any of those five things, then praise the Lord, even though that seems the opposite of what we feel like doing. And then the second phrase in there is all my inmost being. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. My inmost being is as far inside as it might get, really. It's not a physical thing, is it? It's a mental, psychological, spiritual thing. All my inmost being. In other words, what we're thinking of this morning is not superficial. It's not doing a few less nasty things. It's not being dissatisfied more often. It's not superficial. It's letting all my inmost being praise God and turn into and turn us into the how to stay young. And then after that, it's forget not, forget not, forget not all his benefits. Now, it's his benefits that we're not forgetting. So forget not is that don't lose sight of what has been done. What has been done in our lives in a positive way. Don't forget the good things, because it's easy to forget the good things, isn't it? And remember the bad things, but don't forget the good things. Nor be wistful. Wistful is a strange word. You don't hear it very often, do you, these days? But I was just thinking, what word can I use? And I thought, yeah, wistful just sounds to me about the right sort of meaning. Do you see what I mean? Don't be wistful. Or just thinking about in the past, even. Forget not all his benefits. And that's where it really comes as to what not to forget and what to remember. Forget not all his benefits. In other words, what we're looking at here is positive thinking and not negative thinking. So if you wanted to go through those five issues that we were talking about earlier, praise the Lord as you do it. Let it occupy all our inmost being, spiritually and whatever else. And forget not what's been done and what he can do. And think of it as positive and not negative thinking. Forget not all his benefits. And the outcome then is what? Your youth is renewed like the eagles. So thank you, Dave Hellier, for taking that photograph in November 1922 of a local eagle 2 miles away from Chard. So remember that, and it will help us on this psalm. Lord, you answer prayer. Holy Spirit, you know what we pray for, even when we say nothing. Jesus, you've been here on earth, you know how it feels. As we think of our prayers now, hear them and answer them, especially for where it's of issues that we've been thinking about today, where it's things like guilt or illness or depression or negatives or dissatisfaction, and especially for other people and others around the world. Lord, hear our prayers and let our cry come unto you. Amen.